This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
I want to take just a moment to tell you about Renters Warehouse, an award-winning property management company that services over 13,000 investors with over 18,000 properties nationwide. They are the only residential property manager rated by Morningstar. Their centralized model with local staff provide trustworthy support across multiple markets. These experts track all aspects of your property and never try to profit from maintenance repairs. Plus, you'll enjoy flat rate pricing and warranted tenants up to 18 months. Check this out. For a free 3-month property management trial exclusive to Jason Hartman listeners, visit renterswarehouse.com/Jason. Again, that's renterswarehouse.com/Jason. Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show, episode number 830. This is Jason Hartman talking to you from Odessa, Ukraine. Yes, I am in Europe. I landed in Frankfurt and then headed over to Kiev. Was in Kiev for quite a few days and then came down to Odessa last night and am anxious to explore it. And I'll tell you, the weather here is awful. Wow. It is, you know, it's mid-May. It's the middle of May. And it is cold and rainy and yuck. Where is all that global warming that Al Gore promised us? You know, it's just something else. But I'm sure all of the people who are his followers will say, well, it's just the temperature is just changing and it's never changed before in history, right? So here, yeah, you know. Anyway, we've analyzed and discussed that with many experts on many prior episodes of many of my shows and the entire network, not just the Creating Wealth Show, but all of my other shows, which, by the way, of course, you can find them at hartmanmedia.com or typing my name into any podcast platform. We have over 20 shows that we produce on a variety of topics. But our main thing, of course, is economics. It's real estate investing. It's financial freedom. And that's what we are here to talk about on the Creating Wealth Show. This is a 10th episode. What do we do every 10th episode? Well, we have a guest or a topic of some general interest, but I want to talk a little bit about a very good, and thank you, I don't have my Twitter account handy, so I apologize, I can't remember who asked this very good question, as a follow-up to my episode last week when I talked about bubble alert and how you can spot a bubble. This was a good question. Well, I was talking about linear, cyclical, and hybrid markets as we talk about so much. And remember, when I was talking about the bubble alert last time and how you really can tell if you are in a bubble, it's not extremely difficult, although you know, we look back on things in cycles in marketplaces, whether they be real estate, stocks, whatever, just the general economy. And we think, well, I don't know. This is what I think. Maybe you don't think it, but I think, you know, why didn't I see that before? Why didn't I see that so I could make a different decision, so I could invest more wisely at the time? Well, of course, it looking back, you know, as the old saying goes, hindsight is what? hindsight is 20/20, right? It always seems easy, or like it should have been easy at the time. But when we get caught up in it, when we get caught up in the craziness, well, it's hard to tell, isn't it? It's hard to realize that. It's like what happened here in Europe a couple of centuries ago with tulip mania, right? You know, read your history, and there was the tulip mania, and everybody thought, well, tulips, that's the thing to invest in. Yeah, the flowers. I'm not kidding. If you don't know the history of this, just look it up on Wikipedia and read and learn about tulip mania, because it was absolutely psychotic. It was crazy. I mean, what were people thinking? You know, fortunes were made, fortunes were lost. And why did they lose fortunes on, tulips, right? Doesn't make any sense. It is pretty easy. Now, just remember when I talked about the bubble alert and how to spot a real estate bubble, I was really focused on only one area of it last week when we talked about that. I was focused on the property, how you could simply look at the property and know. I wasn't talking about the broader economy. I wasn't talking about job creation in a given metropolitan area that would determine real estate values. I wasn't talking about any of that. I was simply talking about the property. How could you look at a real estate deal, a property, without even watching my somewhat fantastic, yes, if I don't brag a little bit, my somewhat fantastic, or at least it's not actually fantastic in terms of production quality, it's just really good content. It's really good content. That free video on my website at jasonhartman.com that is about how to analyze a real estate investment, how to analyze a deal, how do you know if it's good or bad, right? When I talked about the bubble analysis last week, I was looking at a way to just look at the property and know, not get all mired in what is the economy doing, what is job creation, how many new building permits are there, what is the supply, what is the demand. I was looking at the result of all of those things, which coalesces in the property itself to a large extent. And you can really tell if you're in a bubble. It's not that difficult. Okay, go back and listen to that episode if you by chance are new to the show and haven't heard that one yet, because I think it'll be very helpful to you. But this great question that came to me on Twitter, and by the way, you can follow me on Twitter, Jason Hartman, ROI, like return on investment, Jason Hartman, ROI, return on investment, not the whole thing spelled out, just ROI at the end of my name, and join the other 23,000 plus followers there. So, how do you know if it's a linear market, a cyclical market, or a hybrid market? Well, that's also pretty easy because, number one, the linear market will, it's very unlikely that it will ever really be in a bubble. That's the first thing. See, if you listen to that episode on how to spot a bubble, then you will know that linear markets rarely get into bubble territory. Now, they have their slight up and downs, as linear as the name would imply. But do they get in massive, overheated tulip mania, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, Miami-style real estate bubbles? No, they do not. They never get into those. They did have an adjustment in, you know, two parts of the market cycles that were seven decades apart. One was the Great Depression, okay, that started in 1929. And then the other one was the Great Recession that we had just about 10 years ago, okay? And by the way, it's interesting. I remember so vividly now that I'm traveling around Europe here in, in Ukraine specifically now, the land of the supermodels. Yes, the land of the supermodels, Ukraine. Wow, it's so nice to see these Ukrainian women that just, they dress so well. They really make an effort. It's just so refreshing versus America and the Western world. That's, I don't know, there's this like uglification thing that's going on, and it's not good. It's not good. But dare I digress, as I so often do. But I will get into that someday on another episode, especially if you tell me you want me to. But yeah, as I'm traveling around Europe, I remember distinctly where I was when I got the first big sign that the Great Recession was upon us. I was in Romania. Yes, I was in Romania. And that was just about 10 years ago in the land of the evil, disgusting, pathetic, now thankfully dead dictator Ceausescu. When I was watching the news, I was watching, I don't know, CNN, Fox, something like that. They were talking about the things that were going on in the market and the mortgage companies that were going out of business. And yes, I was in Bucharest, Romania, getting heat stroke because I remember how incredibly hot it was. Anyway, it's interesting how you can place memories in time, you can place them by emotion, you can place them by your setting, you know, your environment that you remember you were in. I mean, I remember what my environment looked like when I, you know, was hearing this news. So anyway, there it is. But yeah, the linear, cyclical, and hybrid markets simply use the rent-to-value ratio, use the LTI ratio, the land-to-improvement ratio that I've taught you about on many prior episodes, and also use the cost per square foot. Now, many of these three items that I just mentioned, of course, are the bubble indicators, which I talked about on that prior episode. So anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed that episode. A lot of prior discussions on that I won't go into now, but that's the basic hint on how you can do that. So we have got a JHU, Jason Hartman University Live event coming up. Probably only do this once this year. So if you want to get into the numbers, you want to understand deeply how to analyze a real estate investment, how to look at the numbers, how to find properties, how to evaluate properties. That is, those are, you know, listen, you're talking to Mr. Tangent right now, right? Or I should say you're listening to Mr. Tangent. That's me. and you know, I love to go on, people tell me interesting tangents. I won't say they're interesting. I'll say that you say they're interesting because you do. The basic fundamentals of analyzing a real estate deal and knowing whether or not you're making a good investment. Well, that's what JHU, Jason Hartman University Live, is all about. And that event is coming up. And you can go to jasonhartman.com, click on the events section, and we are having that in Oklahoma City along with a property tour. It's a full weekend event, all day Saturday and Sunday, and all the meals are included with property tour events, by the way. So just get yourself there. Cover the subsidized cost of your hotel because we have a special room block rate that, by the way, will not last forever. You know, every time we hold an event, we get a room block from the hotel that we contract for at a special low price. And, you know, we always offer an early bird registration price for these events. And then, you know, the price usually goes up depending on the timing and the ticket sales of the event, approximately every week to 10 days. The price just bumps up a little bit as we get closer to the event. But maybe the biggest thing is making sure you get in on the subsidized room block price with the hotel. Okay, that might be part of the biggest thing, right? And so go to jasonhartman.com, register. As soon as you register for the event at the early bird price, you will get a confirmation email and the thank you screen that will show you the hotel information with the special booking link. And this is just going to be a fantastic event. So I hope you'll join us in July, right after Independence Day here in the U.S., July 4th. And we will be talking about your financial independence day at JHU Live, Jason Hartman University Live, and we will have a property tour of Oklahoma City as well. So join us for that. Go to jasonhartman.com/events to register. Today's 10th episode, where we don't talk about real estate investing on 10th shows, every 10th show we talk about something of general interest. And since I am away, I'm traveling around Europe for 2.5 weeks, and you know what I miss other than the ease of doing business in America and the efficiency in America and the lack of massive roadblocks and old European tradition that becomes rather annoying which, by the way, I will talk more about this on a future episode. And keep in mind, I was born in Europe. This is my home continent. And not all European countries are the same. Of course, they're very different. But in some ways, they are very much the same, too. I'm going to get into this on a prior episode and maybe go on a rant. But the thing I miss most, other than the ease of doing business and commerce, efficiency that you see in most places and parts of the U.S., and the lack of these silly roadblocks that you get all over Europe, I miss my dog. Well, I miss Coco. Yes, Coco, I really do miss her. She's on a dog vacay, and that's a website that, by the way, just merged with Rover, rover.com, kind of like the Airbnb for dogs. She is there back in Las Vegas, and I miss her greatly on this trip. So I thought this show would be perfect to do a 10th episode show that I recorded a while ago when the movie came out on a dog's purpose, a dog's purpose. I absolutely love dogs. I think it is very true that they are man's best friend, right? Meaning man generically, of course, that includes women. It is human's best friend, okay? And dogs really are. So enjoy this interview on the topic of a dog's purpose. It's my pleasure to welcome best-selling author Bruce Cameron. He is the author of many books. Some of the titles, all of the titles are pretty funny and entertaining. I love the title, Eight Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter. But what we're going to talk about today is he's known for his great books on one of my favorite subjects and certainly my favorite creature, and that is man's best friend's dogs. And my dog is sitting right here, Bruce. So welcome to the show. And we're both listening and want to hear more about it. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, everybody says the man's best friend. And my favorite joke that's out there right now is if you want to know who really loves you, lock both your wife and your dog in the trunk of your car for 4 hours, and then when you open up the trunk, see which one of them is glad to see you.
Do not do this, by the way.
Yeah, don't actually do that. That's yeah.
Do not do that. So give our listeners a sense of geography. Where are you located?
I'm currently in Los Angeles, California. I came out here to work on that on the TV show, Eight Simple Rules.
Okay, fantastic. And where are you based?
I'm in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, no, I mean, that's where you are now, but where do you live?
I've been living here for the past decade.
Oh, okay. So you're there permanently. You made it sound as though you were just there for the movie or the TV show.
Oh, no. Once you get into the gravitational pull of Los Angeles, you cannot escape.
It's my hometown. I'm glad I escaped, but that's another topic. So, you know, the dog's purpose, the dogs of Christmas, a dog's journey. You know, tell us about these books and what dogs can teach us.
I will tell you that my big book, A Dog's Purpose, which came out in 2010, was what we'd have to call a surprise hit. No, it was produced with a very tiny little budget. Nobody thought that it was worth advertising. It was just a book with a dog on the cover. The reason it resonated with people is that it really addresses two things that we know to be true, and that is that true love lasts forever. And yet your real friends will always be there for you if you just know where to look. And in this case, the real friend is a dog. And this very special dog doesn't die at the end of the book like in some other dog books I can name. This dog keeps being reborn. And because it keeps being reborn and remembers its previous lives, it comes to the conclusion that it must have a purpose, must have some reason why this keeps happening. And until the dog can figure out that purpose and fulfill it, it's going to keep coming back for more.
They say that about reincarnation with people. I've heard that before. But this is with a dog. That's fantastic. Okay. And so what happens on the dog's journey?
Yeah, I'm glad you put it that way, because a dog's purpose is the first one. A dog's journey is the second one, because, you know, the dog doesn't die. What the dog has to do, though, is try to figure out why this keeps happening. And in a dog's journey, it comes to the conclusion that there's a very special person that needs protection in the world. As a dog meets this woman who, even as a little child, her name is CJ, which stands for Clarity June. When we meet CJ, she is just always a little girl in trouble, And then as she gets older, she becomes a little girl who is troubled. She has a lot of things happen to her in her life. And the secret to her survival is that her soul is reinforced with the love of a good dog. And the dog realizes that his mission in life, every rebirth, is to find his way back to CJ and help her with whatever calamity has befallen her since his last incarnation. It is a sweet, touching book, and I think the reason why it really resonates with people has to do with a lot of people telling me, hey, I swear that my dog Freckles is the reincarnation of my dog Rufus, that they're exactly the same. They behave the same way. And so I think it really touches something for people.
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. So what does the dog learn along the way on this journey, or what does the dog's master learn, maybe more importantly?
Yeah, that's a great question because, it's told from the perspective of the dog. And so what I tried to do, therefore, was write from the perspective of a real dog. And that means that a real dog that doesn't understand English, so you can have a conversation in front of the dog and the dog will hear it. Dogs have good hearing, but it won't necessarily know what you're talking about. And you can have a lecture series on never tip over the trash can, and the dog doesn't know what you're talking about. But the dog does know that you're upset. The dog does know that you're angry or sad or whatever. They're really good at reading our emotions. They can tell by our facial expressions, and they can sense something coming off of us. So that's what the dog learns. The people all just go on with their people's lives. I mean, I think that one of the things that happens with dogs are here for such a short period of time, and we know that. We know when we adopt a dog that someday there's going to be a very heartbreaking moment in our lives as we have to say goodbye to this cherished friend. And yet the dogs who are here for such a short time live each day full of joy and happiness. In some ways, you can say the dogs in their brief decade, 12 years or so, have a much more full, robust, and fulfilled life than a lot of people do over 60, 70, 80 years. So I love that the lesson of the dogs is that we should have every day be full of joy, and we should live life like the dogs.
Yeah, we should. What gets in the way of that, though? what is stopping us from that?
Yeah, my newest book is The Dogs of Christmas, and what it delves into is exactly what's stopping that. There's a man named Josh. He should be having the time of his life. He's a young man. He's in his 20s. He's financially doing okay. He owns his own place. He lives in Colorado. But he lives by himself because his family's kind of scattered, and his girlfriend has dumped him, and he just hasn't gotten around to getting another girlfriend. He doesn't realize it, but he's becoming a hermit. He's becoming the kind of hermit that so many of us are becoming today, where we've become focused on our screens and the conversations we're having by using our thumbs instead of on people's expressions and the tones of their voice. We think we're more socially active than ever because we're sending messages back and forth. But what happens with Josh anyway is that he is more and more just like a modern-day hermit. And then into his life comes something completely unexpected. He's never had a dog before, and then because of a crazy neighbor, he suddenly not only has a dog dumped on him, he has a pregnant dog dumped on him, and he now has a house full of dog and puppies that he needs to deal with. And how it transforms Josh and makes him a much more full person with an open heart is really the message of The Dogs of Christmas.
There's a great video about social media, and then it really the whole thesis is social media is anything but social. you talked, Bruce, about how we spend our time, typing out messages and so forth and looking at screens. And this video, everybody should go watch it. It's called Look Up, and you can find it on YouTube. Maybe you've seen it. And it, here's the guy, walking by looking at his phone, and the woman of his dreams just walked by him and he didn't even see it, And it's sadly true, and I'm guilty as charged too, So
try looking down. Look down at your dog. Your dog is right there on point, on alert, ready for you to pay it some attention. And I think you're really missing a lot of life if you don't stop texting, get up, get on your hands and knees, put your arms around your dog, pet your dog, wrestle with your dog. And what Josh learns in The Dogs of Christmas is even more profound, because not only has he never had a dog before, but puppies are bring you a particularly intense sense of joy into your life. And it's very dramatic how these dogs come into to Josh's life, because it parallels the story of my own dog. My own dog, Tucker, was abandoned in a box at birth at an animal shelter. Literally spent the night huddled in the bottom of a cardboard box. The next morning, the shelter worker opens the box and sees these little guys huddled in there and says, oh no, because they don't have the resources to sit and bottle feed half a dozen puppies. They can't. And so it meant that these puppies in this box were slated for sure death. But then they called my daughter, and my daughter runs an animal rescue in Denver that specializes in rescuing animals that are on death row, finding those animals that can be rehabilitated or get surgery or somehow re-qualified to be adopted. And they called her and they said, we've got this box of puppies we're going to have to euthanize. And she said, well, I don't have the staff either, but what I do have is a German shepherd who just weaned her pups yesterday. So let's see what we can do about this. And so they brought the box of puppies into this German shepherd and set them down. And with a long sigh, the German shepherd adopted these puppies, saved life. Yeah. And that's how Tucker came to be my dog. And that story plays out in very similar fashion in the book, The Dogs of Christmas.
Yeah, fantastic. That's great. So dogs are very good at living in the moment. If there's like one way, one great quality is that they live in the moment. They certainly never get mad, regardless of the conditions. They just go with the flow, and they make the best out of everything, it seems. Any more thoughts or tips or qualities that dogs can teach us, or how we can develop them that you want to share?
I just think that you are, if you are living with a dog, you are the subject of pure, unadulterated, unconditional love, and that we should luxuriate in that. We're not going to get that from any person. There's just always some ifs, thans, or buts. There's always a little bit of baggage. But what you get from a dog, the dog doesn't care if you're fat. The dog doesn't care if you got fired. Your dog doesn't even care if you eat too much or you drink too much or anything. All the dog cares about, really, is your happiness, because they are never more happy than when you're happy. So take advantage of that. This is an amazing therapeutic element in your life. And I would also say, just as is the lesson of The Dogs of Christmas, which is sort of a love song to animal rescue, consider rescuing a dog. You can, of course, get great dogs from breeders, and I would never say that breeders don't represent an important part of the animal tradition. Certainly, purebreds will vanish if breeders vanish. But you can get a purebred dog from any rescue. If you really want a Labrador or a Dachshund, you can hold out until you get the dog of your dreams. That Labrador or that Dachshund will come into the system, I promise you, and you can adopt that dog. And really, what could be more wonderful than giving a home to an animal made homeless through no fault of its own?
Yeah. I've had 5 dogs in my life. They've all been rescue dogs. I just won't do the breeder thing. And, they've all been awesome. This last one, I got her as a puppy. She was 8 weeks old. My dog had died a month earlier. I was just starting to look because I knew it might take a lot of time to find a new dog. And so I went, I finally got myself to go to the animal shelter. I thought I better start looking, maybe I'll have a dog in 3 or 4 or 5 months. Someone surrendered a litter of 5 puppies and they had a raffle, and I put my name in and showed up on Monday morning at 11 and I was picked first. I literally got the pick of the litter. And so I just thought, this is destiny, And bringing up a puppy is pretty fun. It is a lot of work, but it's also pretty fun to watch them grow. But what you say is pretty true. Now, I want to ask you, What do you think about people, and it may be tough to answer this one candidly, honestly, on the show here, but what do you think about people who don't like dogs?
You know, I think it's okay to not like dogs. I don't judge people who say that they don't like dogs. I have a friend who doesn't like dogs, and she says it's because they lick her, and she finds that kind of stuff to be disgusting. So, okay. I think what I have a much more of a problem with are people who act out their dislike of animals by mistreating them. There's just no excuse for that. You're doing so much psychic damage to an animal when you mistreat it. I'm much less trustful of someone who professes not to love dogs than I am of someone who says, oh yeah, I'm a big dog nut. I just feel like if you meet somebody who's a big dog nut, you have something in common right there, and it's a very decent human common quality that we share.
Yeah, I would agree with you for sure. Well, give out your website and tell people where they can find all of your books, and if you want to mention any of your other books, feel free.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity. You can
find But you got to give a little summary about it quickly.
Okay, all right. You can find out about all my books at adogspurpose.com, because remember, A Dog's Purpose was my big book, and that's what I'm known for.
Bruce, I got to mention, you only have about 2,300 reviews on Amazon and 5 stars. I'm very envious. You know, I think my book has like 25 or 30 reviews on Amazon. Wow.
Yeah. This book, A Dog's Purpose, really touched people in ways that was surprising to me. And the number of people who have given it 5 stars, it's actually the highest ranked New York Times bestseller that I've ever come across. It has more 5-star reviews than The Help. I mean, it just... And I think it's got to do, it's not because I'm a brilliant writer, it's got to do because of the topic, it's because of the idea of a dog that is motivated to help people and who goes through his life learning life's lessons. I think that people found that to be so charming. So I'll always urge people to come to adogspurpose.com, because we're giving away free stuff, and we have a Dog of the Week contest, and we give away prizes for that. And then when you're there, you'll learn about The Dogs of Christmas. That's a book that I'm very proud of, because it's out now, and it's a Christmas gift book. It's Puppies at Christmas. That's intended to cheer you up and to cheer up anybody you give the book to. And I also have a thriller out that I just came out from the same publisher. It's in all bookstores right now. It's called The Midnight Plan of the Repo Man. A thriller, but it's got a dog on the cover because I wrote it, and there's obviously a dog in the book. When I write a book, I like to write true stories, which means that people come home, they say hi to their dogs. I mean, because that's how I do it. I think most people who have dogs come home to say hi to their dogs, and then if you read the statistics, more than half of all people have dogs in the home. So it is very definitely true that if I want to write a book about a character who seems real and American and true, I write about a guy like Ruddy McCann, who's the repo man in The Midnight Plan of the Repo Man. He's a former football star, local hero, made a mistake, got sent to prison. When he came out, he's no longer a hero. He's more like a zero. He has no real popularity anymore. So he's a repo man, and he's a bouncer in a bar. And then things go from bad to worse when he starts hearing a voice in his head. Like he's just like literally a psychic problem. He's got a voice in his head, except for this voice claims to belong to a real person, a real murdered person, who wants the repo man to find the killers and bring them to justice. And that's The Midnight Plan of the Repo Man. And that's my latest book. That and The Dogs of Christmas are out now in hardcover in the bookstores.
The Dating Your Daughter and Marrying Your Daughter books, it just... I don't know, for some reason I thought of that country and western song about cleaning my gun.
Yeah,
that was so funny. Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly when I wrote the 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter, and it became a TV show starring John Ritter. 8 Simple Rules.
Give us a couple of those rules.
I'll tell you, the first one is, if you pull in my driveway and honk, you better be delivering a package, because sure as heck not picking anything up.
Okay, that's good.
And then I think my favorite is rule number 4, which is that you may have heard that in today's world, sex without a barrier method of some kind can kill you. Well, let me elaborate on that. When it comes to sex, I am the barrier, and I will kill you. I wrote this book book because I felt like I was living in a zombie movie. Because all of a sudden I'd open the door and there'd be this creature there, and he looks like a zombie and he smells like a zombie. And I'd say, you know, go away. But I'd look and here are more coming. You know, they just keep coming like in a zombie movie. And they wanted to date my daughter. And they literally would pull in the driveway and honk their horn like my daughter's supposed to scamper out and jump in the car. And so I always beat my daughter to the car when they honk. And I'd knock on the window and say, you need to come on in the house.
Yeah, right.
We're going to have a conversation.
Right, yeah. That's great. Good stuff. Well, it was great having you on the show. And, you know, dogs, what awesome creatures they are. And I think everybody should learn to appreciate dogs more if they don't naturally like or appreciate them, because they really are just amazing creatures. And, you know, listen, I like cats too. I used to have a cat. Cats are fine, but dogs are pretty special. You know, they really are.
I had a cat. The cat never really liked me. You know, all my dogs have liked me. The cat didn't really like me.
But that's sort of part of the cat's charm, is they're very prissy, you know. They only like you when you're feeding them.
Right.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, Bruce, thanks for joining us and sharing all of this with us. Appreciate having you on the show.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.